Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Sinirach, good afternoon to you, and thank you for being with me this afternoon.
Hey Simon, Chodesh Tov to everybody. How is Shavuot Tov? How are you guys doing?
No, we are doing very, very well, but I read with concern the Israeli press about tensions rising between Israel and Iran and spats and cargo ships, and unpack this for us. Who's doing what to whom, Anthony?
Well, there's a lot of tit-for-tat going on. We know that there's always going to be things going on behind the scenes between Israel and Iran. Israel, of course, has a major concern over the Iranian nuclear program. Israel, we understand, if we believe the rumors, if we believe the accusations, Israel is apparently responsible for the death of quite a number of senior Iranian officials over an extended period of time. And Iran has been somewhat embarrassed in their public media, in the public domain, in terms of the fact that they haven't really responded in any significant way to these supposed attacks by Israel. And I say supposed because they've never really been proven or acknowledged. And so the latest events over the last week or two have involved an explosion that damaged an Israeli ship in the Gulf of Oman. And that happened last week. And then that happened the week before last week. And then in the middle of last week, we understood that an Iranian cargo ship, an Iranian container ship, had some sort of damage done to it while it was sailing in the Mediterranean. And of course, Israel has been accused of causing this damage, apparently an explosion which damaged the ship. There were no injuries. There were no the ship itself managed to continue along its way, so it didn't sink the ship in any way. But obviously, it's just a little bit of an insult to the Iranians to show that Israel is able to carry out these attacks in the same way as the attacks are carried out against Israeli ships. And again, nobody really knows who ultimately was responsible, whether it's something that might have happened unrelated to the ongoing disagreement between Israel and Iran, whether this is all part of the same story. We don't really know. We only just see the events on the day. And of course, the most recent event was that Iranian container ship, whose hull was damaged while sailing in the Mediterranean. Israel has kept very silent. Iran has been very, very vocal in accusing Israel of carrying out this attack. But I don't think we'll ever really know for sure whether it was an attack by Israel and how it was done.
Nevertheless, the temperature, you know, continues to rise because one can't imagine that the Iranians will sit back and do nothing. I believe there are security warnings for Israelis in the UAE. How does this play out, Anthony?
Well, Iran in the past has been quite well known for carrying out reprisal attacks against things that have happened within Iran, against Iran. And we've seen that, for example, in the terrible attacks that have taken place, for example, in Argentina. We've seen Iran carry out attacks or at least try to carry out attacks against Israeli embassies around the world. There's been, reprisals carried out wherever you could almost, any place around the world. The Iranians have certainly tried to carry out attacks. We also had the attacks against Israeli tourists that took place in Bulgaria a few years ago. So we do know that Iran is capable of carrying out these attacks in a fairly silent sort of way, but can be quite deadly on the day. And they've got all of these renegade groups, all of these terrorist organizations which are being funded by Iran and which also take instructions from Iran. So we have no doubt that Iran will always try to come out and take revenge against any damage that's done to its people, to itself, either just from a PR point of view or indeed from a physical point of view. We've seen a lot of that in recent times. So we're expecting that the Iranians will somehow want to carry out some sort of a big event just to show that they also have the ability to take revenge for these attacks.
All right. Well, we will watch that with interest. Let's move over to the COVID-19 issue. You've passed a grim milestone in Israel. You've now lost 6,000 people, apparently.
Well, it is a grim milestone, but the grim milestone comes against a much more positive backdrop because we are seeing an increasing opening of the Israeli economy, a reduction in the numbers overall. The latest announcement that's come out from the government is that they will allow flights to be landing in Israel starting on Tuesday from more than just the limited number of destinations that have recently been allowed up until about a week or 10 days ago, the Israeli airport was closed completely, even to the arrival of Israelis from abroad. That was then the airport was then open, and 3,000 people have been allowed to land on a daily basis, but only from a very, very limited number of destinations, which include Frankfurt and New York, amongst other places. I think Kiev is another destination from which people are allowed to come, but by no means just a free and easy access for all Israelis. It's been quite difficult for people who want to return to get here. So the government has now decided that as of Tuesday, they will allow all destinations to be open, but it's still limited to returning Israelis. So at the moment, there isn't the ability for foreigners to come and pay a visit to Israel, not even if you are vaccinated, not even if you want to come and sit in quarantine. No terms have been offered for tourists to come here, but at least returning Israelis will be allowed to come from any destination. And of course, that's important because within the next week, from tomorrow, there will be an election. And so those Israelis who wish to vote in the election will need to be here at home, as there is no facility for Israelis to vote while abroad during a general election. So there are quite a number of people who have been doing whatever they can in order to return home for the election, which will take place in a week's time.
Well, that's a fascinating issue that you raise. I hadn't applied my mind to that before. Historically, does one know who is favored by the returning vote? Would that go to the center? Would that go to the Likud? Where does that returning Israeli vote generally go?
Well, I suppose it depends on which publications you read and who you believe. Very, very, very difficult to know. First of all, at the moment, there are so-called returning vote are many people who are not living abroad, but just happen to have been stuck abroad because of the coronavirus issue and just haven't been able to get back for one reason or another. In the past, of course, that's not been the case. People have been free to travel, and there has been a phenomenon of people actually living, Israelis living abroad for whatever reason, and deciding to return back just in order to vote in the general election. And it's difficult to really put a finger on exactly who those returning Israelis have supported or not supported. But I think the general view is that Israelis who do not live in Israel and who would potentially be returning to vote in next week's election would probably vote against Prime Minister Netanyahu. And so therefore there has been a lot of conspiracy theories about the government limiting those people from returning back in order to prevent them from voting against the Prime Minister and the Likud party. I think that it's very, very difficult to prove any of that, but that at least is you know, if you want to believe what certain elements of the press have been writing about.
That's fascinating. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. We did discuss last week this issue of the diplomatic spat between Jordan and the Prime Minister. They nixed his trip to the United Arab Emirates. So we understand on High FM what happened. What we don't know is how this gets resolved and to what extent this is personal between Bibi Netanyahu and King Hussein.
Well, I don't know that it's a personal thing. Of course, King Abdullah is the king, but it involved the Crown Prince Hussein. I don't know that it's a personal thing against Netanyahu, although we know that the two leaders don't necessarily see eye to eye. But I think that because of the fact that the Crown Prince was prevented from visiting the Temple Mount last week, the Jordanian government did want to wanted somehow try to take action against Israel, and they were given the perfect opportunity when the Prime Minister's plane that was due to carry him to the United Arab Emirates happened just to be on the ground in Jordan, and the Jordanians were able to detain the plane at least for a short period of time, and it was enough time to mess up the timetable such that the Prime Minister ultimately was unable to travel. We were told that the Prime Minister was so furious over these actions that he was just about to close Israeli airspace to Jordanian planes, and it was only rescinded with 45 minutes left to run until that ban was due to come into effect. Now, I don't think that Israel and Jordan necessarily wish to be at loggerheads with each other. I don't think that would serve any purpose. But it would be fair to say that the peace that Israel and Jordan have entered into, and which has been quite effective over the past number of decades, at least preventing wars along that border, hasn't necessarily been the warmest peace we've ever come across. But then, you know, the famous saying is that you don't make peace with your friends, you make peace with your enemies, and you can't expect people to suddenly become friendly overnight. We've certainly seen with Jordan that we've had a lot of issues in that peace arrangement. But also, I think there has been a lot of benefit that has arisen from the peace agreement. So I don't see any long-term negative effects. The Prime Minister's angry. The Jordanian government was also angry. But I think ultimately that peace will win out, and that won't necessarily be a long-held view.
Natini Rach, I could so easily spend double the time chatting to you. Thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks a lot.